Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Ian's Untitled Scene Show. My name is Ian, and we have been talking off air, so I'm already fairly certain that this interview is going to be a lot of fun. This is a newer band for me, but I am really, really glad to have the chance, I guess, to dive into everything they're doing. It is Aaron and Tanis of the band Lives Lost. Guys, we'll start with you, Aaron, because I actually started talking to you first. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, thank you. How about yourself?
I am not doing too bad. Tanis, how about yourself?
I'm doing great, man.
That's what I like to hear. There you go. Okay. Life is good. I appreciate that. So you guys had mentioned that you're going to be in the studio the next couple of days. We're going to get into that for sure. But I wanted to double check. So right now, are you guys in Hershey, PA, or did you travel to go into whichever studio you're working in?
So I'm in Hershey. Aaron actually moved out of the area. He's out in Delaware, but we still home base out here. You know, we practice out by my residence.
Okay.
Or a, practice space nearby us. And we are going to be traveling to the studio, though. Our studio, our guy, Jeff McKinnon, he is an underrated gem. If you've never heard of him, he's done a lot of really awesome underground bands.
Yeah.
And even some bigger ones, too. You know, he did work as an engineer on that new Varials record that people are on the fence about.
Okay.
And he's done Varia, who is an insane post-hardcore band from Virginia.
Yep.
He's done, what's that other band? Man, I'm blanking now. I normally have whole discography ready to go. He's done a lot of really awesome stuff. You know, he's very underrated. Oh, Midfield. That's the other band.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know, they're an awesome pop punk band from Philadelphia area. Yeah.
So is that why you wanted to work with him then, is because of that discography? Was there any other reason why you wanted to try with him?
So we've known, how long have we known Jeff now, Aaron?
We've known him for quite a while. 4 years, maybe something.
4 years?
It was 5 years.
Harley and I are together over 5 years now.
Oh, congrats.
And I've known Jeff six or seven years now.
Okay.
And we got introduced to him from our other band, our metalcore band, La Chiate.
Oh, by the way, before you go into that, thank you very much for pronouncing that, because I was going to make a fool of myself, because I wasn't even close to what you just said. So
we've heard it all for La Chiate. Don't worry. You know, I think that's one of the many reasons the band failed. You know,
gotcha.
We just had a kind of crappy name, you know.
I don't know if you guys know the band The Requiem. Have you guys heard of them before? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what their previous name was?
No.
I'm not even going to say it. It was one of the hardest French phrases to say. And that's one of the reasons why when they signed with Fearless, they changed their name to The Requiem, because people could not pronounce their name. People just called them Lex. So I totally get that. All right. Sorry. Go on. I had to jump in there.
I love that. But we met Jeff through our other guitar player in La Chiate, a guy that we brought in after we were already kind of established, Sam Hart. His other band had recorded with Jeff. And I really just liked, I had a consultation call with Jeff, and I just liked his energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we did La Chiate's actually biggest song with him, Metaxas.
Ah, okay.
And after that, I was like, this is our guy. You know, he just understands the metal sonicscape so well. And even, you know, now that we have delved into not as much metal, you know, I think there's some metal undertones in Lives Lost, but we're definitely not a metal band, you know. He knows that sound. He's just got an ear. He cares about the little details, you know. I always like to joke and say, you know, when people are like, oh, what's recording you guys like? I'm like, well, between me and Aaron, it takes like 24 hours to record any song, because Aaron and I are both like take obsessed people. We're like, no, I know that was a good take, but like, what if I just change this one note? Or like, you know, I just didn't bend the string right. I didn't hit that mute hard enough.
Okay.
You know,
it's permanent. You want to get it right. You know, it's
100%. I agree with you, Aaron. I think we've always been on the same page with that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what we love about Jeff. Jeff is literally like, yeah, that was great, but like, you could do better and be in the annals of champions, you know, like
So then, I mean, look, well, actually, Aaron and I were talking about editing when it comes to podcasting and all the behind the scenes stuff that happens. That's my work. Like, I hate doing that so much. Like, that's the worst part of any of this is that part. So my question to you guys then is, how is your editing process when you're going through all those takes? How do you decide and how do you not get tired of hearing them over and over again?
I think we both just want to be perfect. You know, even Alan, he's like that too. Alan's a little, he's like the most relaxed guy in the band for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, we know what we like to hear, you know, like I think Rick Rubin has a really good philosophy on this where he's like, you know, I'm not musically talented. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about at all. Like, you know, but I just have a good ear. He like Rick Rubin has one of the greatest ears in the business.
Oh, yeah.
And his process is actually insane. But he says, you know, if you want a certain sound, you have to go for it, you know, and if you want to capture your energy, your that soul essence. Into the music. The essence, yes, exactly, the essence. You have to be able to have the ear to distinguish. You can definitely hear it. Like, I really feel like when you hear the take and you know that's the right take, you hear that.
Okay. Well, has there ever been, and this is maybe a little too specific, but you can be general with it. Has it ever been a time where the three of you or the two of you, however you guys are doing the takes, that you have a disagreement about what take
feels
right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that probably, I don't know a single band, you know, you ever see Tropic Thunder?
Yes. Yes.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. in that one scene, they're like arguing. He's like, we're supposed to be a unit. And then he's like, suck my unit. That's literally being in a band. And right. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. That's being in a band, you know? I think that Aaron and Alan, particularly for me, like we're friends, you know? And I think outside of the music, we get along, you know?
Yeah.
And I think when there's that kind of camaraderie, it comes with like the ability to tell each other to F off
right.
like, pretty hard.
Sure.
I've already dropped the F bomb. I don't know why I'm muting myself now, but I really think like sometimes I get in my head where I'm like, God, none of this is good. And then I'll try and do something too many times and they'll be like, yo, you had that scream like. Oh, excuse me, 5 takes ago. Like, calm down.
Sure.
And I think Aaron, I hear a take that Aaron does. I'm like, dude, that was amazing. He's like, that was fucking terrible, you know? And we just kind of are always, we're our own worst critics, honestly. We can have like a 9 out of 10 show in the eyes of the crowd, you know, even a 10 out of 10 show. And we would still find a way to be like, fuck, but yeah, I didn't hit that pinch harmonic at 3 minutes in the last song, right? Gotcha. So I guess we're like dog shit now.
Yeah.
Well, that's being a musician, right? That's being an artist.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let me.
But that's like, that's why Jeff's our guy. You know, Jeff is that literally, he is such like a, yeah, that was great, but do better guy, you know? And I think our last two singles really speak to that, you know? Yeah. Let Me Down Slowly and Champagne, we did with him, like straight up everything with him, engineering, mixing, mastering.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Actually, I'm sorry. Champagne, we had engineered by our friend from, if not for me, Hayden Calhoun.
Oh, sure.
AKA Dark Side Audio. They're doing awesome right now. He did a really great job in that song. He's got a really good ear, too, to be honest with you. So,
absolutely.
Our stuff with him has ended up, you know, pretty similarly good. But when we're with Jeff, it's just like, he just gets us, you know?
Yeah, that's great. So then you guys are going for, you said a couple days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming this is for a recording of your next EP. Do you have all that locked up or do you know what you're going to do going in or will it kind of take you over when you get there?
It'll take us over when we get there. We're definitely doing one song. I actually just tonight, I got the bass MIDI and the drum MIDI ready to go. So everything kind of goes, you know, really easy for us. We'll see what we get done. You know, we kind of try and get as much done as we can, but most of the time, because of how perfectionist we are, it ends up being like one song, even if it is like 2-3 days, you know?
Okay. Sure.
But I think that speaks to our process and, you know, it's why we're getting music out that is sounding so good because we've decided like, okay, we want to consistently release stuff on like a bi-monthly, basis, but we want to make sure it's good stuff. You know, in the past, we've just like rushed stuff out, or we weren't 100% happy with it, but we were already there. So what the heck, you know? Whereas now we're like really being like, nah, you know, I think our fans want that high quality. We do have like a really awesome little, I don't want to say cult following, but like little community that we're building. You know, I'm in our Discord all the time talking to our fans. And I think that speaks for itself. You know, we want to make music that's honest, but sonically very pleasing.
Right. Now, I would say, so getting all that stuff together and, you know, taking a couple days or 3 days to get a single completed, I think right now in the way the scene is, that kind of makes sense because people are now going, as you know, going in that direction of releasing a single every month or two, and not necessarily focusing on a full EP or an album. It's just as things get released on Spotify, all of a sudden you'll have, hey, our album's hit, but they've been releasing the tracks every, you know, other month or whatever. And you get to five and you're like, hey, here's our EP.
And there's, there's less of a focus on like the EP, the body of work itself. You know, I actually have, and have for a couple years now, been working on a concept record for us as a band. And I think what I would like to do is build up these singles and finally, you know, get to the studio, drop a EP with the singles we've been dropping, you know. This is my grand plan in my head, you know. And I think I've talked to the guys about this, so I feel confident divulging this.
Aaron, is this all new?
No, I think I know where you're going with this, Tanis.
So, dude, I try and tell Aaron everything. In fact, he probably gets tired with how much I call him. Honestly, like I'm like such a like I want my like especially lately I've realized like something that has killed so many bands is the one guy that's in charge of stuff is just like not communicating with his bandmates well, you know? Like I've seen that happen. I definitely think that was another thing that contributed to the downfall of our other band. I just I want to be open with them the way I'm open with the fans on stage every night, you know. They're my guys. You know, I talk to my wife about this all the time. I am married. My wife Harley is the light of my life.
That's great.
I don't know what I did to deserve such an amazing person, but here we are. But I tell her all the time, you know, like I really, as much as like I get mad sometimes because I have such a hard time communicating about certain things, you know, Aaron and Alan, they're my guys, you know. And I've felt that since day one. I mean, Aaron moved away and he was like kind of contemplating leaving Lives Lost. I was like, no, man, you can't leave Lives Lost. You're my guy, man. You're my brother. I love you. You know, like, I just I really if this ever takes off in a massive way, I know that I have two very solid guys by my side that are they love the music. They are true friends and they want the same thing I want, you know? I think that's important. I think that's why Avenged Sevenfold, like they're a band that I really look up to, but that's why they're so huge. They literally, they had a friendship and they built off of that to become the band that they are, you know?
All right. I can see that. I would ask then, so when you guys, just to take it back a step. So you mentioned your previous metalcore band. Now, Aaron, you were in that as well.
Yeah,
you mentioned a couple reasons why it might have, you know, failed and not gone forward. But if you two have such a great relationship and then you bring Alan in, who you also have a great relationship with, why the change in sound then?
Oh, that's tough. So this is actually a super complex answer, but I'm going to give it to you simple. And I think Aaron can agree with this. Everybody in La Chiate that was not an original member wanted a different sound. Actually, Sam, our other guitarist, and I were talking about this. I hung out with him Friday night or Saturday night. I went out to a local show. Because our La Chiate's second drummer, Kevin Apt, he's in another band called Ultraviolent, who's super sick. But we were talking about La Chiate and like what kind of happened a little bit, which was kind of weird conversation to have because it did not end well. I'm going to be straight up with you. You know, we got back together. Well, the original lineup got back together for very briefly. But Kevin wanted to be like really heavy and Sam wanted to be more focused on screams. And I think Aaron and I have always wanted like more of the clean vocal approach. Am I right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Aaron and I is like, the bands that we listen to outside of our band are like, not me maybe, but him definitely significantly lighter and more clean vocal focus. You know, I'm a sucker for a vocal melody. That's the first thing I listen to in a song.
Yeah.
You know, if I, if I don't like the vocals, there's very rare instances where I will like the instrumental, you know, like I do because I'm like super into techie metal. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I'll find a death metal band that I don't love the vocals, but like the instruments are so sick that I enjoy them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think me and Aaron were always, I don't think there was ever a time me and Aaron were on a different page. But like getting everybody else to be like, okay, we want clean vocals too, was nigh impossible.
I see.
You know?
Okay.
I really prefer singing now. I didn't have the voice I have now. Like I didn't sing like my true self until Lives Lost, I think.
Oh.
Because I was trying to be like, I don't know, my big, like who I loved and looked up to as a guitar player and a singer, because that's what I was doing in most of Lasciate, were like Matt Hafey and Matt Tuck, you know, Trivium Bull Valentine.
Yeah.
And I think that those guys are great at what they do, but their focus is not, you know, vocal melodies, you know, it's like the instruments around the vocal melodies. Like I can't, Tears Don't Fall is obviously like a super catchy chorus, but like that is not the main focal point of a Bullet for My Valentine song.
Oh, it's
not
the vocals. Absolutely not. No.
You know? And I think Aaron and I both enjoy music where the vocals are the focal point, which I think Lives Lost is. Am I right, Aaron? Am I off base?
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. Yeah, I mean, we both really like, you know, just even like pop music and things like that. So yeah, we're both big fans of just singing in general, I'd say.
Yeah, like when I'm not rocking out, like I love 2000s rock and post-hardcore.
Yes.
So like in my off time, I can be found listening to like bands like Stained, Creed, Breaking Benjamin, Chevelle, Deftones, but then also bands like Seosin and Silverstein and Senses Fail.
Yeah.
And Coheed and Cambria is another one that I just am absolutely and always have been obsessed with.
Makes sense.
You know,
you're also a country guy kind of too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dude, I do love country music. Actually, so sorry, this is a sidebar, I think you're going to like this.
Okay.
One of the ongoing jokes we as a band have is that any Lives Lost song could be a country song. Aaron, am I right that this is an ongoing joke?
Yeah.
No, Alan's favorite thing, and I wish he was here to do this because it's way funnier when he does it. But like, you know, a lot of our songs are about mental health and and the struggle within and the growing pains of life. And, you know, I've been there. I've felt that. But I think that that can come off in like a country way because I'm such a, I don't want to say I'm like a super deep lyricist, like, oh, Tanis is just the deepest lyricist ever. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But like, I'm hard on sleeve. I'll tell you exactly how I'm feeling in my lyrics. And I'm sure you'll relate to them because you have felt that way at some point, you know?
Right.
But A Portrait of Loss is bridge section is, and I will carry your burdens with heavy heart and broken hands. And Alan loves to sing that part like a country song at practice.
Gotcha.
He'll like, we have him mic'd up. He does the backing vocals in a couple songs. He'll go, and I will carry your burdens with heavy heart and broken hands.
And it's just so,
it's so funny, dude. It gets me every time. He'll do that with any song though. Like any of our songs, like even Champagne now he started to do recently. He's like, I know just what you're trying to hide. You know, it's funny.
Sure. No, I like that you guys are focused on the lyrics. I like that you're focused on singing as well. I don't think everything needs screams if the entire, like if the song is good. I am one of those people for sure. If you've heard the show before, like I said, I've been doing it a very long time. I am more on the heavier side of things. Absolutely. But when a band's able to come around like you guys, who's doing more of like the alternative rock mixed with, you know, radio rock and post-hardcore, all of that, when it's done right, why would I ever dislike that? So that's what I appreciate. Yeah, you guys have a lot of melody in what you're doing and you can back it up as well. I don't hear, like, even though you do have some electronics, I don't hear you leaning on them. I think you guys are leaning on what your talents are, and that's what I appreciate.
100%. And, you know, we write synths and pads and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, it's there to complement the song, not drive the song, you
know? Exactly.
And if there is a part where a synth or pad drove the song, there's a 100% chance that Aaron is doing some weird noodling on either an acoustic or an electric guitar in the background.
Okay.
You know, Aaron's, me and Jeff, our producer, call Aaron the Lair God. he literally, if you have a song that you're working on with this man, he will guarantee have 8+ layers of guitars ready to go. They might not all make the track, but he'll have them. He's like,
yeah, dude.
I was just thinking, what if we tried this here? And he comes in, you're like, damn, why didn't I think of that? Who is this dude? Is he an alien? Honestly.
I do like my layers, you know? I do.
We do love that, man.
How do you tackle live music then? So if you've got all this layering, are you able to sift through what you need to actually experience it live? Are you playing
100%.
Okay, sorry. I just want to check if it was like a lot of backing tracks or not.
No, so we are working on maybe doing backing tracks, but I think that's another thing that like we're kind of doing right now that sets us apart from other bands our generation is like, we have not used a backing track once live yet.
That's awesome.
I'm open to it, you know.
I'm huge on that. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think like something that's so special is like, and I'm sure people are going to hear this and they're going to boo me. They're going to comment and be like, boo this man, you know. But I think it's so important to have a different experience live.
Yes.
You know, why the hell would I be going to see this band that I've heard on record 8 million times?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to go see them play the song exactly how it is on record? Me personally, that's how I feel.
I'm,
you know,
totally
and I want it similar, but like my heroes growing up were like I said, Avenged Sevenfold, and you know, I didn't say this yet, but Metallica,
sure,
and you know, even 80s rock and pop acts, you know, Journey. I love Journey. I've always loved Journey.
I get it.
And like those guys, all of those bands, they have this common theme, and is that they were not afraid to add parts live,
yes,
you know?
Right.
And like, I feel like that is so much more genuine than half of what I hear now. I think that's special, you know? Yep. Something that I feel like we've taken fans from bands before, you know, unintentionally, because we have such a raw and real live show when you see us.
That's awesome.
You know, I don't have auto tune on my voice. You know, I don't.
That's so rare.
The guys are not, they're not playing to just a track in their ear, you know? That's something that I'd be down to do, like I said.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it a lot. We're thinking about implementing it. But at the end of the day, our backing track should not be a crutch. You know, the first thing in Lives Lost and what makes Lives Lost is honesty. And I feel like that translates over to the live performance, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Well, Aaron, I'd like your opinion on it too. I'm assuming it's very similar, but I completely get adding in backing tracks when you have three guitarists, right? And you don't have three guitarists on stage. So you want to add a little bit of flair onto things. I completely understand that. But I am absolutely with you. I don't go to live music to hear the album. I go to live music to hear what you do live. So if you, you know, change some of the lyrics or you change the tone, you drop an octave, you add something in, that's kind of what I'm looking for because I have the album. Why do I have to hear you lip sync or, you know, backing track sync to what you're doing? Why would I go waste my time with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing too is sometimes it's hard because I know how I feel and I feel the same way as you guys as like a musician, but sometimes I don't know, maybe is that what like fans want to see? Do they just want to see like the most polished produced show? You know, I don't know.
It seems I
definitely like doing it more raw. We've had discussions in the past about what should we do? You know, should we try more backing tracks? But I think the way we're going about it now is pretty good. And then, yeah, maybe we'll add, you know, like we don't use in-ears even. So, I mean, stuff like that doesn't have to be a big, you know, backing track crutch. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm not sure what the audience wants to see exactly, but I think the way we're doing it now is pretty good.
And you guys have two touring members that go around with you as well, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gabe is like on the fence, right? Because like Gabe's kind of you know, more of a full-time guy, I guess, but, you know, it's still just the three of us in the studio. Mm-hmm. We haven't really reproached anything yet, because if it's not broken, why fix it?
Sure.
You know?
Right.
And I think both of the guys, if we were like, hey, you're Permy now, you know, you're in the band, you know, come in the studio with us, they'd both be into it.
Okay.
I think we just have this chemistry in the studio right now that we're on the fence about altering. Am I right, Aaron?
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of like in the middle because, yeah, you know, we're not entirely sure kind of the direction we're going in with that. But I mean, both the guys are great and awesome and we love them.
They're amazing.
You know,
I really, this is like, I've been in a band for a long time and I have played as a guitarist or a bassist in a couple different bands. Mm-hmm. And out of everybody I've ever played with, I feel like this lineup we have now is insane, honestly.
Awesome. So I want to go back to something that you had mentioned before about, you know, listening to other styles of music, right? Going into kind of some of the pop and even maybe some country. And I want to talk about, I knew this was a cover because of the style of lyricism that it was. But when you mentioned Let Me Down Slowly, right? I could tell that was a cover when I heard it, but I've never heard the original because I don't tend to listen to any pop music. So when you guys hear a song like that, how do you choose that one in particular? And then when you get together and you're trying to formulate it into a, you know, alternative rock post-hardcore song, how do you work it so that you know it's going to come off as well as you guys were able to pull it off?
I think this is so important. And Aaron, you can stop me if you disagree with me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think that when you get a pop song, you have to disregard everything you know about that pop song, minus the key and minus the lyrics. Mm-hmm. You have to disregard that. You have to think, if Lives Lost wrote this song, or your insert band here, you know,
sure,
how would that shit sound with everything else in mind? And I really think we did that,
yes,
with Let Me Down Slowly. Like, we really were like, you know, yeah, it's somebody else's song, but let's make this our song.
Right.
And I think Aaron is such a proprietor in, like, he hears stuff and he's like, yeah, but this would be better this way, you know? So I had a very raw baseline rhythm, mm-hmm, of what I wanted in that song. And Aaron just took it and he soared with it, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, Aaron, I will compliment you 24/7. You know this already. You know, he's done that in multiple songs. This next song we have coming out comes out April 1st. ID. Aaron took this basic song I had, this basic octane rock song, and he was like, yeah, let's make it techie though. And it just ended up so much better because he took a couple small things, mm-hmm, and just made them pop. You know, that's just what he does. The only thing from my original demo that we kept was the post chorus. Okay. Everything else was Aaron or our producer, Jeff, you know, idea wise. Yes. And I think, you know, it was just the perfect amalgamation of, you know, I had vocal ideas. And I think I let you guys in the dark on this a little bit. I don't even think I sent them vocal pre-pro.
Oh,
I came in there though, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Now, a couple of the spots, Jeff was like, I have this thing where I really love dad rock, and sometimes I get like a dad rock inflection unintentionally because it's comfortable for my voice, you know,
sure,
years of bad singing in the car, you know? So they had to dial that back and tell me, like, no, Tannis, like, sing like you, you know. Okay. But it ended up so great. And I think that's because we have such a good team. Like, yeah. I don't think there's ever been a moment where I've done a vocal that's bad and the guys have let me get away with it.
Ah. And that goes to being friends as well, being open with each other.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
So then you've got Jeff, you've got your friendship as a band, so you're able to put things together the way that you want. So then now, taking your lessons that you learned from the past, you know, with past singles, with the past EP, what do you think is the biggest thing that you are changing in order to control, I guess, the narrative with what you're doing then?
Marketing.
Oh, okay.
So like, I have marketed for us before and it's done really well. Not for Lives Lost as much, but more La Chiate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been afraid to approach Lives Lost marketing that way, you know, because I don't know. The people that I understand, the market I understand is metalheads, because that's what I grew up in. I grew up in a household of metalheads.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand like the alt rock community really, or what they look for. But I took a bunch of online marketing classes and I built a plan and I followed the plan. And I think these are our two best singles out the gate so far.
Right.
Because I had a plan in place. I had marketing in place. And I think, you know, unfortunately now it's 2024, mm-hmm. you know, we all have to be like business people. Yes. If you're in a band, you want to be successful, you have to be a business person.
Right.
I'm heavily involved in the digital marketing of my wife's business as of lately. And I think that has grown me as well.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's the one thing that we have changed is we said, all right, you know, and I told the guys, I was like, look, I'm not going to ask you, you know, for anything, you know, I'm just going to do this. And this is what I'm thinking. And they were like, oh, that's a good idea. That's a bad idea. And we went for it. You know,
okay.
We went from there because I think we have that trusting relationship where they put faith in me and they told me what they didn't want to see. And we avoided that.
Yep.
But we kind of followed, you know, the trends that are going on. We ran some small, small, small ad spend. Like I'm talking less than $100 per song.
Right.
And on TikTok and Instagram, and it just kind of blew up. I think if your music's good and you run some ad spend, you're going to blow up, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say you allow that to influence the music you make, though?
Hell no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, because I don't hear it. I'll tell you this for sure. Because there's a lot of times that I will hear, you know, what someone might call an octane band, right? And I heard you mention that as well. So that is not my style. In most cases, I would say 95%, maybe even more percentage, I would not listen to that station. But I know that there are bands like yourselves that would do really well on that station, but you do not follow the template of what they do.
No.
But you'd still make it on there because you're catchy and you're adding something to the music that a lot of, at least in my opinion, a lot of those bands aren't doing.
Yeah.
But you could still fit in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to be honest with you, and Aaron, I'm sorry to like be throwing you all these compliments. I'm sure I'm making it red in the face.
No, keep it coming.
I just wrote the song we're going into track. I wrote it and it was very basic, very basic. And, but I wrote it around my vocal hook.
Yeah.
And then I sent it to Aaron and Aaron was like, nah, motherfucker, that's not Lives Lost. Huh. Like this is Lives Lost. And he added two small, but big mm-hmm. parts that just made it Lives Lost.
Okay.
Like our sound at this point in our career, our sound is so much bigger than me. You know, I think now when I'm songwriting, you know, like Champagne, Aaron, I think you just tracked leads for Champagne, right?
Yeah. I didn't do anything with the rhythm.
Oh,
that's all Tannis. Yeah.
But Champagne, when I wrote that, I had like completely different stuff. And I'm not going to lie to you. This is like what I did. I got hammered and I was like, I got to think like Aaron Perry right now.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
nice.
How do I make this more like something that Aaron would write? And I had that main riff that dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. And it was very basic, but then I was like, no, I'm going to add parts to this because Aaron would make this catchy and swingy, like let's put a swing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think honestly my bandmates are an inspiration to me, and also like the only person I feel like I ever not beef with or anything, but like we're not on the same page is sometimes Alan, because you have to dial him back. I told him, you know, 7-8 doesn't sell records if they can't shake their ass to it, like I don't care, you know, like jokingly sure. Of course, sure. You know. But I still, like, when I was writing this stuff, I was like, man, I got to think about, and I'm trying to do this with everything I'm working on now. I'm reworking a lot of stuff that I had that was, like, more basic rock platform.
Okay.
And I'm adding in the touches of my bandmates, like in my head, you know, before they even get to it. So that way they have even less work to do, you know, not that they don't want that. I'm sure like Aaron's like, nah, dude, like bring me all the work, you know?
Right.
But like, I think now that we're together so long, I just know what everybody likes. And I was like, no, like that riff is cool. Like, the second riff of the song is like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- And I was like, no, if Aaron wrote this, he would do something crazy. So I went all the way up the fretboard and I did that like, and I don't know. I'm sorry to make guitar noises on your podcast, but I think that when you're writing something, you have to like take into account what's making us special, what's making us stand out, you know? And my bandmates are part of that, you know?
Yeah. That's a really positive way to look at it. And I'm sure Aaron is flattered for sure.
I am. Thank you very much, Dennis. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things though too, and I know you guys have mentioned it before, you mentioned about your influences as well. But what I like about what you're doing too is I think you have a lot of influences. And because you brought up Champagne, I just want to ask you both, have you guys heard of the band Stutterfly at all?
No.
I haven't, no.
Because that song sounds very similar to them. And I'm not saying like structure or anything like that. Just sound-wise, you guys share. And I'm actually surprised, if you guys have time, take a chance and look them up. They're back from, I want to say, their early 2000s.
Okay.
That's why it hit my ear the way it did, where they were kind of the like new metal to post-hardcore crossover almost at times. And that's what I often think about what you guys are doing, with a hint and a mix of a lot of other genres together.
I know this Gun in Hand song.
Yes, that's their biggest track for sure.
Yeah,
I hear that.
I hate his vocals, full honesty. which I think is why it never stuck for me.
Sure.
Because I do like, I love the instrumentals for that band, but like,
yeah,
I like good vocals.
Yeah.
And I think that, even sometimes when I do stuff, I'm like, ugh, that wasn't a good vocal, Tannis. Try again. You know? But I like good vocals, man. Like, my favorite singers to listen to, again, this might be a cancelable opinion.
Yeah, I got to hear. I got to hear this. Go ahead.
So these two are not cancelable. Dustin Kensrue from Thrice. Sure. I love him.
Of course.
Claudio Sanchez, Coheed and Cambria.
Okay. Yep.
Michael Åkerfeldt from Opeth.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the god himself, Johnny Craig. And I don't care what anybody says. I love
that. I've had him on the show.
Listen, I love his vocals, point blank, period.
Sure.
I'll never forget the first time I heard, and I told him I invented Times New Roman.
Sure.
I heard that, and I was like, I have to be able to sing like this. Like, I was always like a loud voice singer, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, I struggled to find my own tone.
Okay.
Because there's so many, you know, I don't know. I'm on the autism spectrum. So I think that sometimes I emulate people, you know?
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
Unintentionally, that's just part of it. You know, my mom and I talk about that. Like, even when I was a kid, if I heard somebody's voice on TV, I would try and sound like them, like, all day long.
So then can you do, not to go into a different tangent, but can you do impressions of people?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, you're good at singers, like a Fred Durst.
Yeah. I can do Limp Bizkit, like, if only we could fly, Limp Bizkit style. Yeah, I can do him.
That's pretty good.
I can do like Claudio from Coheed, you know, like, two hearts in your hand. You know, like, wow. I can do it.
Okay.
Do Dave Mustaine. Oh. Dave Mustaine. Ooh. You do that one.
Oh, I do Dave Mustaine well. What do you mean I don't believe in God? I talk to him every day. You know, I can do James Hetfield, you know, like, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh, you know, like, I can do it.
Nice.
You know, I think sometimes as a vocalist, when you've got like multi, you know, a plethora of things that you could pull from.
Yeah.
You can get lost in that, you know? It's taken me a long time to get my own voice, you know?
Yeah.
Another singer that I was obsessed with when I first started singing was like, what's his name? Jarrett from Bowling for Soup.
Oh, okay. I do not know his name, but I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Jared Reddick. Okay. That's his name.
Gotcha.
But I used to sing like that straight up, like, I almost got caught at school at 14.
Wow.
You know, all nasal, you know?
Yeah.
That's not me. You know, I found my voice.
How'd you reel it in then?
I think it was a combination of things. I think I was tired of hearing myself on Laciate tracks and being like, that's not me, you know? Oh. Like, really bad imposter syndrome, honestly, I think helped change that. But like,
yeah,
all of Laciate's career, I feel like I was trying to sound like Matt Hafey and Howard Jones from Killswitch, you know?
Gotcha. That's a interesting combination.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to play guitar like Matt Hafey and I wanted to sound like Howard Jones,
right?
You know?
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the problem though. I think like, who doesn't and who can actually like emulate other people's voices, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Where like you can really hear it in some of the Laciate stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like Abandon All Hope, the title track of Laciate's debut record. If you listen to that chorus, you could close your eyes and be like, man, this guy kind of sounds like he's doing a bad Howard Jones impression, you know?
I'll have to go back again.
All like right. the chorus is like, this world is Conan, unapologetic. You know, it's very like rooted in my chest voice and operatic.
Yes,
you know?
Very operatic. Right.
And my voice is operatic. I am theatrical, you know, but it's just like knowing I'm not like a deep baritone, you know, I'm definitely like, I'm kind of in that same vein as, you know, Johnny Craig, where it's like, he's a baritoner, you know, he's got the range of a tenor, but he's got a little deepness in his voice, you know?
Oh, sure.
And, actually it's so funny because Chad, one of our touring members, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's like he was a vocal coach. He's like, Tanis, you're a tenor, man. And you can call yourself a baritenor all you want, but I just ran through piano scales with you and you're a tenor, you know?
Okay.
The problem is in my head, like a tenor and a high voice dude, like when I think high voice dude, I think like Sonny Moore and Anthony Green and sure. You know, like my childhood faves. And I'm definitely not that way, you know?
No, I don't hear that. No.
But when you think like Dustin Kensrue and like, oh God, what's the guy's name from Funeral for a Friend?
Oh, Matt. Why am I missing his last name?
Matt, yeah.
He's no longer in the band. I just forget what his last name is. That's my favorite band. I probably should remember what his fucking name is.
I love Funeral for a Friend. And I think you can hear that in my honest vocals, you know? They're like a little... They're a little churchy, but like also heavily influenced by like metal and emo.
And you said early 2000s, which I definitely hear from time to time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our again, circle back to Chad, our touring guitarist. He said the best thing I've ever heard in the chat the other day. So we've tried to like break into the Coheed community and like get their fans to like us because, well, if you listen to us instrumentally, why wouldn't they? You know?
You need that concept album out.
Yeah, exactly. But like even Champagne, like that first verse riff, that could be a Coheed song.
Yeah, I could hear that. Sure.
But he likes to say, we're like, if Coheed and Cambria, if Claudio got sick but was still playing guitar and he invited his buddy Pete Loeffler from Chevelle out on vocals.
That's not a bad way to look at things.
No. And when he said that, I like about crapped my pants. Not going to lie to you.
Well, then, Aaron, let me turn to you. Yeah. On your guitar playing with what you're trying to do, have you had to really find your style and how did you end up doing that?
Yeah, I kind of think so. Maybe in like a different way, or I have a different example, but like the Laciate stuff, it was more like metal leads and like an Avenged Sevenfold type thing maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the style we need for Lives Lost.
Right.
So I've kind of had to learn that like, I kind of have to play a little bit differently the way I approach it.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to fit with the music more. So I've definitely had to take note of that for sure.
And then how do you decide, like, is that your style? You know what I mean? Like when I think about what Tanis is saying, it's like he's saying he found himself for Lives Lost. So is that the way that you feel, or are you able to switch it up whenever you need to?
I don't think about it too much, like if it's my style or not. It's kind of like, if I like it,
mm-hmm.
cool, you know, and I don't think too much about it besides that. Just like, does it sound good? Mm-hmm. Do I really like, you know, what I'm playing? And that's kind of all I think about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So let me ask you guys just a very general question then. So you guys are going into recording. Now I know a lot more of a backstory of how you guys got together, how you feel about what you're doing. So you're going to be recording these singles, but what do you guys see coming up for the band? Because I think I saw, if I'm not mistaken, Tanis, I think I saw a Instagram or a reel that you did saying you guys were originally going to be playing with Dead by April, and then they had to cancel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very bummed. I'm very bummed.
That would have been a fun one.
I love Dead by April.
Yeah. And they don't do America or US tours like ever anymore. Like I think,
no, so this I think they told us it was real close to selling out.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, people don't get
to see
them.
Had another like 50 tickets we were moving.
Okay. Well, what happens with that then? Do they reimburse you for your time or any of that kind of stuff? Or are you guys kind of just screwed?
I wish, brother. I wish. You know, when you're the opening band, it's kind of the shitty end of the stick, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, like you're like, if you want to make money, you got to sell tickets, you know? Nowadays it's not about like, oh, this band would sound fucking sick on the show. It's like, okay, this band's popular in the area. Mm-hmm. They'll sell 75 tickets. Let's throw them on.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Sure.
I think thankfully something Lives Lost has going is like, we truly sound good on most bills because we have a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
And I can always throw in, cause we don't do backing tracks. I can throw in an extra scream or two if need be, you know, or an extra clean or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm multifaceted and so are the guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where if you're not selling tickets, you're not reimbursed for your time at all in the first place, you know?
Right.
So in this case, the money was all in like an account and I refunded all of our fans out of it, you know, because
okay.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't transfer it to my bank from my PayPal, you know?
Right. Right. No, that's for sure. So then what do you guys do next then? To maybe not make up for that, but what do you have on the horizon that you're able to announce?
So this is exclusive. Woo! Okay. We haven't announced this yet.
Don't worry. It's coming out later. So don't worry about it.
I love that. So firstly, we're doing a weekend run with Sixth Century, who's an awesome octane rock type band. If you haven't heard of them, definitely check them out. If you're into that.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you'd be super into that.
But I'll still check it out because you never know.
Yeah. They kind of sound like a Breaking Ben Disturbed techie band.
I mean, I'll like give it a shot. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They're awesome. They're good dudes.
Yeah.
I've known them. I've known Brady, their drummer, for like almost as long, if not longer, than I've known Aaron, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, we're going out with them March 15th, 16th, and 17th. We're doing just outside of Philly, Newark, Delaware, and Fredericksburg, Virginia, a little weekend run.
Okay.
And then April 12th, we are going to be at Love Drafts Brewing Company, which is a local show replacement. Yeah. Well, this is the Mechanicsburg location.
Mechanicsburg. That's right. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. We're going to be there with our friends in Lyndhurst.
I don't think
they're really good. Okay. You probably like, if you like pop punk, you'd like
them. Oh, I do. Okay. All
right, they're I'll like Jimmy out. World style pop punk, but I think they're great.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Actually, the drummer, the original drummer for La Chiate is their drummer, Mark Caruso.
Gotcha.
And he's a dear friend. He's blessing my life. So, you know, can never recommend Lyndhurst enough. But yeah, we're playing with them April 12th for their CD release. Then in May, what date in May? May 16th.
Oh, okay.
We're with Reign of Z and... man, I keep blanking on this band. I feel so bad because they're actually sick and I really vibe their music. So you'd think I'd remember it. This is why I can't remember it.
There are too many band names.
Divide the Fall.
Oh, I know Divide the Fall. I know Divide the Fall. Yeah.
Reign of Z and Lives Lost. I don't know why I always forget Divide the Fall's name. Always.
There's always something. I have that with certain bands as well, where for some reason it seems simple enough. And then you're like, wait a second. Is it? To the Fall? Is it? Yeah. And you just go back and forth. Yep. And then finally you're like, oh, Divide the Fall.
Yes, that's exactly it. And then we're playing. And this is a huge show for us stylistically. We're playing June 1st with 10 Years.
Ah.
And Varsity.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
and Evil on Fire and a shitload of other bands for iRock Radio's birthday bash. And then August 23rd, we're playing with a Skylit Drive.
Very nice. Okay. That was with the Bunny the Bear too, right?
No, this year it's Skylit Drive, Varsity, and Outlier.
Oh, are they moving? Oh, I see what they're doing. Okay. They're doing a run right now where it's the Skylit Drive, the Bunny the Bear, Everyone Dies in Utah.
Dude, Everyone Dies in Utah is such an underrated band.
They really are. I just saw them again recently, and I've had them on the show actually a bunch of times. So each one of those bands I've had on the show multiple times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just really good people, great music, and all that kind of stuff. So I will definitely have links in the description of the episode so that people can, you know, get whatever, they can follow you and do that tour. But I do want to check on a couple things because I realize we're pretty close to getting to that hour. Time really flew by trying to, you know, understand what you guys are about and hearing backstories and everything. So first thing I want to do before we go into some other fun stuff is I wanted to ask, did I hit what you guys wanted to talk about music-wise? You know, we talked about what you guys are recording now, talked about some of the background stuff about what you have out now, and then some of the touring that's coming up in the future. Is there anything else you wanted to hit about the band in general?
I don't think so. I think you hit a lot of good points.
Yeah, I think you hit a lot of good points. You know, it's kind of crazy. Everybody we talked to had a couple different points.
Oh, good.
You know, okay. That they hit. So I feel like we hit a different array of things on this one.
Oh, that's,
you know?
Great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't listen to anyone else's stuff. So I always hope that I'm not covering the same exact stuff as everybody else. So I definitely appreciate that. Let's see then if this is also a little different. I went to your website, which I will have linked in the description as well so that people can check everything that you guys are doing out. And I'm going to start with you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. I read in your bio that you are a big horror movie fan. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
So very general question, but what have you seen recently, would you say, would you recommend to people? I too am a big horror movie fan, so I'm always looking for recommendations and things to check out. Can you think of, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but can you think of anything, even if it's something classic that you don't think a lot of people have seen? Do you have any recommendations for people?
Yeah, I think people should watch Burial Ground, The Nights of Terror. I think it's Burial Ground,
I'm gonna write
The
this down.
Night of Terror.
Okay.
But look that one up. It's like an 80s zombie movie, Italian zombie movie.
Oh, okay.
But they have, what's funny about it is, because I guess the laws in Italy, they couldn't have a kid in the movie. So they have like a, he's not a little person, but he has some sort of syndrome or something, but he's an adult male.
Okay.
But he's playing a kid. So it's just, it's weird. It's awkward.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's very out there, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. And anything recent that you would recommend? Because I know that gets a little bit more difficult because there's been a lot of shit out there.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to say. That Talk, I think it was called Talk to Me or something. Oh. That was a decent movie.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Yeah, that was A24, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so that was a decent movie.
Yeah. Well, then, Tanis, I wanted to move to you because I also read what you've got on your bio. And the huge thing that stood out to me is that you are a Stephen King fan.
I love Stephen King.
That is also my thing. I have multiple tattoos of Stephen King books. So I got to ask you very generally, what would you say is your favorite Stephen King book?
Dr. Sleep.
Wow. A sequel book.
That was quick.
Yeah, that was really fucking quick. Wow.
Yeah. You know, so I'm going to be honest with you on this. Before I read Dr. Sleep, mm-hmm. My favorite was either Dreamcatcher or It.
Holy shit, Dreamcatcher.
Isn't that the one where it's like poop goblins?
Yeah,
or
it's poop, like poop aliens, shit aliens. And he was on Oxy the whole entire time. That he wrote it.
I relate to that, dude. I had a little bit of an Oxy habit for a hot second.
Oh,
you
okay,
know?
So maybe that. Okay, all right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's why it hits, but yeah, I don't know. Something about this whole Dreamcatcher's whole premise is just like, it kind of feels more rooted in reality in a weird way, you know?
Okay. Well, I always like the whole being in your own head and using that as like I forget which. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
100%.
I don't remember characters' names from Dreamcatcher, but yeah.
I actually, it's so weird, and I don't know if this because I'm a weirdo, but like, even before I read this book as like a young adult, mm-hmm. I've always categorized like my memories in my head in filing cabinets.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting.
So like, I think for me, I just related so hard to a lot of what was going on in it.
That makes you know. Sense.
My top, like, it's so tough because I can honestly say Dreamcatcher has gone in and out of my top five.
Okay.
But it still, it stays up there for me. Dr. Sleep as a sequel
yeah.
is just insane.
I think it's one of the best sequels I've ever read, for sure.
I think it might be the best sequel I've ever read.
Wow.
There's one other book that is an amazing sequel. I don't know if you've ever read the Dragonlance Chronicles.
I've heard of them, but I have not read them.
That's where my parents named me from.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So that second book, I think it's Winter, Dragons of Winter.
Okay.
Yeah, Dragons of Winter Night.
Mm-hmm.
Really awesome book.
Interesting.
And like okay. the progression of the story is just like so insane in that second book.
Gotcha.
Just a great trilogy. And
interesting.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, Lord of the Rings, second yeah. novel, also Two Towers, insane.
Well, see, for me, I think like Drawing of the Three, I think of the Dark Tower series.
Oh, dude, the Dark Tower series, insane.
Yeah.
And I can't put I have to put the whole drill there. That's in my top five.
Okay.
But that's I have to put thing. The whole series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Together.
Okay.
I almost feel like it has to be together, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to, like, every once in a while, I think I can go back. Like, I actually read the last book recently again. Like, I did an audiobook version of it and I went through it. Just to remind myself of everything. But I think in general, you almost want to read front to back with something like
no, that. No, you do. You have to read them in order. I tried to do that. I just cannot jump into a random part of that series. You know, like.
Makes sense.
It is in my top five. The okay. Stand is in my top five.
Sure. I did that recently too. Yeah, yeah.
It is hard for me because I have like a terrifying fear of clowns.
Then how do,
probably how because do of it, though.
Yeah, well, right, right.
Because I saw it, I only read it because I saw it on TV at my grandma's house.
Oh,
she like fell asleep while we were watching TV and it was like the next movie on and I stayed so up all night.
You got away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I used to have nightmares about Pennywise 24/7. I mean, Tim Curry is just menacing in that movie.
Yes. Yes. That is a great miniseries.
It's amazing. It's amazing. That and, you know, I didn't like the book, but Rose.
Oh, Rose Matter?
Rose Matter, but Rose Red was a good miniseries.
Gotcha. Too. Yes. I agree. Now, let me make a suggestion because I know we're running out of some time because we've been talking for a while, but have you read The Long Walk?
No.
If you get a chance, and I know some people need like certain times that they get into reading moods and all that kind of stuff, but if you get a chance to do it, that was, you know, before Running Man. It was before all the, all those movies and books about competitions and stuff. The Long Walk is one of the greatest, if not for me, the greatest book I've ever read.
Okay, I'll have to read it.
And that was when he was writing under Richard Bachman.
Richard Bachman, yeah.
Exactly.
Rage is great.
Yes,
Rage
even though
is great.
You can never get that. I own a copy, but it's very rare to find because they won't print that one anymore.
No.
But look, maybe we're going to have to do another show where we dive into all this stuff.
I agree. I was just thinking that.
It would not be the first time, that is for sure.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Another underrated Stephen King is Under the Dome.
Yes.
I really like that.
I did. I loved it. And then I tried watching the TV show and got so incredibly upset.
I didn't even try and watch a TV show. Anytime Stephen King's involved, I'm like, not even worth it.
Yep.
You know?
We are same wavelength. I appreciate like, that so much.
And you know, Duke McKee was interesting too. I mean, yeah. I honestly don't think the dude's written a really terrible book. You know?
Yeah.
Revival was a little...
Oh, I see. I loved Revival because I thought that was one of the darkest books I've ever read. I think I like that he had changed his writing style. And then that was almost his return to darkness almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is very dark. I think I just wasn't used to that after so long.
Yeah.
Cell was also a weird one.
Yeah, I liked Cell. Once again, hated the movie. The movie was absolute garbage. But I did like, terrible. For a change in a zombie type, you know, book, I enjoyed what it was.
100%.
But yeah, sorry, I think we could go on and on for this. But let's close it out there. We're going to talk a little bit off air as well. But I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this to everybody. Make sure you listen to Lives Lost. They have a ton of singles as well as the EP from 2023 called A Portrait of Loss. There's a lot of new material coming, as you heard from listening to the show. I really hope you guys, I know it's always tough. Everyone's like, hey, when are you going to come to my town? I hope you guys make it to Austin at some point because I would love to see you guys live. I got that feeling from you, especially when you mentioned about the lack of backing tracks and really making a live show your own. I really appreciate it. And I was just so happy when I got the notification about the band in general, because I'm newer to you guys. I just started listening to everything you guys were doing. And I am very excited for everything that you guys have coming out, because I have really enjoyed everything you've done. So I'm going to have links in the description of the episode so that people can follow you on social media, so that they can look for you on tour, you know, get merch, whatever you guys are going to be doing. I want to make it easy for people to follow you. But until then, what is the best way to support you guys?
Buy some merch off of the website, you know?
Yeah,
that's definitely, we got a lot of merch. That's an awesome way to support us. Just streaming us and giving us a follow on the socials, telling your friends about us, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I always like to say is, Lives Lost is, at the end of the day, a community. I don't know if you know, we call our fans Lost Ones.
I did not know that.
And okay. Yeah.
Right.
So come and join the legions of Lost Ones over here and become one.
Nice.
With us.
That better be on some merch. All right. You need to have Lost
Listen,
Ones somewhere.
I've been brainstorming a Lost One exclusive shirt.
Very nice.
What, baby? My wife said we should do a jersey. I actually think that's a really great idea.
That would be pretty cool. That's at least unique as well. Well, guys, Aaron, Tanis, thank you guys so much for taking the time to do the show. As I mentioned, I'm looking forward to everything that you guys have coming out. And we will definitely have to do another show. And we'll talk about the scene. We'll talk about everything going on as well. Yeah. Now that we all know a little bit more of your backstory, we can move on to that as well. But until then, thank you guys once again for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.